We've had a precious friend of this ministry, as we've introduced him to you before, for 40 years. And he and his family have been so close to us, and we all, as Grace Christian Center, have been praying for them, especially in this last year, as Pastor Ward was found to have leukemia. And he's going to share, I'm sure, a little bit about it, but radically, amazingly, and powerfully, and preciously, our brother is back with us this morning, and we give praise to God. So let's welcome as he comes. Pastor Ward, would you come? Pastor Ward Terrell, he's not only a tax man, he's a great man of God and a man of the Word, as you know. So, Pastor Ward Terrell, we welcome.
Thank you. Remember, Matthew had that calling, too. He did. It's good to be here. Now, let's see. I'll fight my glasses. Yes. Do any of you have a second pair of eyes? Yeah. I noticed that the mean age of our congregation here is a little above 25. That's okay with me. It is. Hallelujah. It's good to be here with you again. At Carl and Sherry's place, they suffer so with limited view of the water, you know. I came out the first morning and an eagle flew right in front of the windows. Kind of like saying, hi, you know, glad you're here. And then a couple of them played down on the rocks. Hard to get any work done when you've got distractions like that. But it is beautiful up here. It's so good to be with you again. It is, it is. I want to read Psalm 23 before we get started this morning. You know, some of the older psalms or the more familiar psalms become more and more and more meaningful to us as we walk through life and pick up a little bit of experiences. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, I want you to notice a particular thing as we go through this. Notice what he does and notice what I do. Okay? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now, I like to think that surely and goodness, or the name of goodness and mercy, are the name of two angels that follow us. You know, where we walk behind us. Hallelujah. Amen. This last year, we had another fun situation come our way. My wife had a stroke about a year and a half ago, and it left her where she lost balance and lost some memory and lost some eyesight and was sleeping quite a bit. But she could walk. And the only thing is, she didn't realize that if she walked, she had a tendency to fall. And I'd be working in my office and see her trucking down the hallway, and I would jump up and run after her. Well, about July of last year, her symptoms started to change, and she would have less strength in her legs. And then I caught the flu, and I was irritated with it. I do not do sick well. As far as...
Typical man.
You ladies have a greater ability for that. But I love it. But my symptoms were I was doing yard work and I would be sweating, and not just sweating a little bit, I would be sweating all over. Even my elbows were sweating. And I would ache like a body ache with a flu, and then all of a sudden I'd start shaking and trembling, and I'd get in bed and be underneath the covers with the heating blanket on and shaking. And I was concerned about that, in that it was going to be limiting my care of my wife. I was the full-time caregiver as far as the bathing, clothing, feeding, you know, taking care of everything type of situation. And so we had a preaching engagement and an appointment with my son, and I canceled the preaching engagement. I just didn't feel up to that. But I went up to visit my son, Darla, and I did. And by the way, just a clue for your dads, learn what ministers to your kids and get good at it. Okay? My son and I have had an appointment every year for the past like 8 years where I go up to his place near the Tacoma area. He's a deputy sheriff in that area. And then we go to a Mariners game together. Now, that doesn't seem that much to me, but that has meant more to him than just about anything I have done to be with my son and take time to be with my son. I would not miss that. And I don't intend to miss any year for the rest of my life that I have the ability in my body to get with my boy and go to a Mariners game. Sweet. I'm going to do it. Sweet. I'm going to do it. But we went up there and were with him. And that night at his place, my wife lost almost complete use of her legs. I had to carry her to the bathroom. And it was through a narrow place. My son had just moved into a different house and boxes were everywhere. And so we went from there to the hospital. We stopped by the house and dropped stuff off at the house and went on down to the hospital because I wanted to check out why her symptoms were changing. And I wanted an antibiotic to get rid of the flu I had so that I'd be able to care for her. And so we checked into the emergency and basically we didn't leave. She was diagnosed as having more mini strokes, they called them, and went from the hospital about 4 days later into a rest home. Since then, she's lost the use of both legs. She can't walk or stand anymore, and she's lost the use of her left arm, and it's drawing up where we have to keep a washcloth in it to keep it from drawing up anymore, and she can't straighten it. She has to be helped to turn in bed and to move her head even, and will likely be bedfast the rest of her life. My daughter flew back from Pennsylvania to be with her during this time that I need to travel this time of year. And then I found out that I didn't have the flu. They came back and they said, your blood doesn't have many platelets. We want to do a bone marrow sample. So they drilled into my hip bone and there wasn't any marrow in my hip bone. It was packed solid with cancer cells. It was lymphoma that I had. And instead of leukemia, I didn't get out of the hospital. I went from there to chemotherapy. And I didn't know how severe chemotherapy I had, and I still am not a good analysis of how much chemotherapy I've had because I've only done it once, and I don't know what normal is. I was comparing notes with a brother in Boise, Idaho, just a few weeks ago. He had had lymphoma the week before, or the year before also. And he was telling me of how, yeah, he went into the doctor's house to get, or doctor's office to get chemotherapy, and he was there for one day and then off for 14 and back for one day and out for 14. And he said the longest he was hooked up was 10 hours. And I was thinking, that's a little bit different than what I went through. Because when I had chemotherapy, they put me in the hospital and they hooked me up for 6.5 days at one shot, 2 to 6 bottles going into me at a time, some of it being directly put into my spinal cord. And the doctor told me, your job is to eat and pee. And when they're giving you 650 milliliters of fluid an hour, you feel called. You do. Some things you get real good at. But I found out later, after I was through with that, how serious my condition was. I was remarking to my daughter just a few weeks ago that my condition, you know, when I went in was rather serious. And she said, well, yes. She said, the doctor said that you had less than 2 weeks to live. It seems that if the bones are full of cancer, packed with cancer cells and there's no bone marrow in there, that the bones aren't producing that much blood. And that's a problem. You know, that'd be a problem. But I found out I'm learning so much about the body and I'm not having to take any medical classes to do it. It's amazing what we pick up when we go through these things. But they had the chemo, and then I found there was a nadir point, I think I'm saying that right, that you hit 10 days after you start chemo, where your defenses are totally wiped out, your white count's down to nothing, you have no immunity, everybody wears masks that come in to see you, and you wear a mask if you walk the halls or anything, and you bottom out. I mean, they kill everything that's fast growing in your body. This is new growth. This is. It was gone. My eyelashes were gone. I mean, it's interesting what the body goes through. They kill anything that grows fast. This thing, and the good things and bad things, it kills it all. I said to the doctor, I said, how long does it take to kill cancer in your body? He says, oh, we'll kill about all of it this first time. I said, oh, then we're through? He said, no, you got 6 more sessions to go. You know, just aiming for that 0.5% or that 1% or the little lingering things that are somewhere. And they go after those. So instead of 7 days of chemotherapy, I had 45 days of chemotherapy. And the doctor said, well, he says this way. He says, if you're cancer-free in 6 months, then we got this round whooped. It's done. If your cancer comes back in 6 months, he says, we don't have anything else to do. Because we've done it all this time. You know, they did it all. At the first part of December, I was cancer-free. Hallelujah. And I'm about halfway to that six-month place. And I'm believing to be cancer-free. Amen. And, well, you say, you're believing to be. Yeah, why not? And, you know, I see a problem in the church, as far as that goes, with where we've gone with some of the confession and strong faith messages. Hello? Now, I believe in confession. I believe in faith. I believe all in that. And if I'm rubbing you a little wrong, I'm aiming at you. You know, somebody leaves service and they say, the pastor was preaching at me. Hey, listen, if you didn't come to be preached at, don't come. You know? We come to be preached at and we take what we get. Hallelujah.
That's right.
But something that I'm concerned about in the modern church is the lack of testimonies I hear among some of the young people. And what I consider to be a lack of contact with God. You need to have a contact with God where you know God and you know that God knows you. Where you know that in your knower. Where you know that. We got married at 21. Now, back when I was growing up, you either got married right after high school or you got married right after college. It's different now. I mean, my daughter got married at about 34, 35, and lived with us up to then. But we got married at 21. We did. Right through with Bible college. Got married. We went from our honeymoon to our first pastorate. We started pastoring at 21. Because there was a bunch of Spirit-filled Baptists who got filled with the Spirit down in Texas, got kicked out of the Baptist church, and they called the dean of the college where I was going, who happens to be my father-in-law, and said, do you have anybody that can come down and pastor us? We need a pastor. He says, sure. So here are these kids, you know, so green. You know, it's unbelievable. We think we can walk on water and all that kind of stuff. You know, looking back on it, it was amazing, but I didn't do hardly any marriage counseling my first several years in the ministry. But we went to a school that believed in the faith message. A strong faith message. Faith was God plus nothing. I mean, you told nobody of your needs. You told God in private. He answered you publicly. There was no tuition in our Bible college. The teachers didn't have a salary. The students and the teachers prayed in the monthly needs of the college every month. We never went hungry. Sometimes we found out how many ways you could cook rice. But we never went hungry. And we practiced faith. You know, it was a thing where I didn't go to a doctor or a dentist for about 9 or 10 years. When Carl first saw me, he saw how much of a car wreck my mouth was, you know, as far as needing help way back then. But we didn't see doctors. We didn't do that. And I remember, I was broke. I don't know what you call broke. But when I say broke, I mean like no plastic, nothing in the checking account, and nothing in the wallet. Okay? And I had monthly bills down there at Bible College, and I got down and I prayed, and I had a cousin in Spokane, Washington, we were in Texas, that sent me some money in an envelope. She says, I don't know why I'm doing this, I just felt to do it. And I got some money. And by the way, she's never done it since. I got some money. So I said, hallelujah. So I gave out of it. And by the way, learn that. Learn to give. Tithing is not just Old Testament. It's something that you need to get into your spirit and into your heart. If you haven't learned, I mean, sometimes our wallets never get baptized. Hello? But that's something that if you don't have giving birthed inside of you, then sometime let the Holy Spirit deal with you about giving. Amen, Pastor. That's so good. That's so right. So right. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay? So I said, hallelujah. I gave. I paid my bills. Got what I needed to get. And I made sure I spent all of the money. You say, why would you want to spend all the money? Because I wanted to be in a place where I needed to pray some more in. Because, I mean, I'm at Bible college. I'm learning to believe God. I want to believe God. So I got down to pray after that day. I had another student go with me. We were doing things, getting things taken care of, you know, and getting rid of my money. And I got down to pray and I said, Lord, thank you for your supply and meeting my needs. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Ward, yeah? Did you notice that the student that was with you needed a pair of shoes? And I said, well, yeah, Lord, I did see that there was a hole in them when they were walking, you know. I saw that. I want you to buy them a pair of shoes. I said, well, that's great, Lord, but you're just a little bit late. I would be more than willing to buy him a shoes. It doesn't matter whether my needs are being met or somebody else's needs are being met. That would be great. It's just, Lord, your timing is off. And he said, buy him a pair of shoes. I said, Lord, you don't understand. I don't have any money. Yes, you do. No, I don't. Yes, you do. No, I don't. You've got a $2 bill collection. I bind you in Jesus' name. It's interesting what God will lay his finger on. I like my $2 bill collection. I didn't consider it money. It wasn't money, it was a collection. But I wasn't really broke. And I had enough in it to buy a pair of shoes. So you know what? My $2 bill collection went for a pair of shoes. Now, by the way, if you tell God no sometime, and then God is quiet, go back to where you left him. and take care of business. You follow me on that one? Because it's not God who leaves. And when we got married, we were walking into the house. Now, my wife and I, you know, young bride, young preacher, we were just commenting on how good God had been to us. We hadn't had jobs. We were just out of Bible college. And the last summer before Bible college, God had done a miracle. I mean, I went preaching up in Nebraska and Kansas and some Assembly of God churches. My uncle pastored in the Assembly of God, and he got me into little churches in Nebraska, 50 to 100 people that evangelists just didn't go to. He said, "Ward, if you ever want to, I can keep you busy for a year or 2 years in Nebraska, just going to little places that nobody visits." And I was coming back from that trip, and I was just amazed at God. God had given $600 and a suit. They found out I was getting married. Somebody bought me a wedding suit, and somebody gave me an old Rambler, you know. So, I mean, I had a car, I had a suit, I had $600, and I had no idea what it cost to get married. By the time that we were ready to walk into our new house, the $600 was gone. We got a used refrigerator, a used stove, a used bedroom set. We still have the bedroom set. It's an antique. It was about 100 years old when we got it, you know, when we got married. But we and had a honeymoon. We were staying at the hotel in Houston that her grandfather managed years and years ago, on the same floor that Liberace was staying on that same time. Got to see him. But we were commenting how good God was. I mean, we had a car, we had our wedding, we had a place to live. We lived in the church. I talk about a home church. We had 22 people, but it's Spirit-Filled Baptist that God rented a home. I stood in the dining room and preached into the front room. The kitchen was the fellowship hall. The back bedroom was our bedroom, and the front bedroom was the office. I mean, we had church right there. And we were just commenting on how good God was. The ladies had given showers to her, you know, and we had all the pots and pans and everything and all the spices and everything. As we were walking in, we commented to each other. We said, "You know, the only thing we don't have is food in the garbage can. And if we don't have food, we don't need a garbage can." Oh. And you know, within 30 minutes, the people of our church arrived. They evidently were watching for us. And you know what? They carried in a new garbage can full of food. Now, you talk about something being done in my spirit with that. When God comes down, when we comment, the only thing we don't have is a garbage can and food. And God comes down and He brings a garbage can and food. You know. You know that God's got you written on the palm of His hand. You know that. There was another time we were traveling with our family back up from California. We'd been on a family vacation. We had a Volkswagen bus, built a platform in it, took the back seats out, put a bed on it. The kids were young. And we put all the luggage underneath and everything underneath, and we had a place for the kids to stay. You didn't have to fasten them down. For some reason, they lived anyway. And they climbed all over everywhere where we were growing up. You know, we had a way back in some of the cars. But we just had fun. And all of a sudden, the car, Southern Oregon, the car stops. It just, I mean, we're going on the freeway and it stops running. So I coast off to the side and stop on the edge of the highway. There was an exit just a little bit up ahead, and it said Gold Hill. So there was a town there. I knew just about enough about cars to be dangerous. So I popped open the distributor cap and just looked inside of it to see if I could see anything. And the points that little rotor, the rotor, was broken. Doesn't take a lot of discernment to know what the problem is, you know. That was broken. It wasn't the rotor. It was actually the points down below that little arm had broken off, not the big arm of the rotor. So I get the two boys, and we hike up the exit, you know, up towards Gold Hill. And Gold Hill, I think, at that time was one grocery store and one gas station and a post office. Big town. So I go into the gas station, and I say, "How far is the nearest Volkswagen dealer?" He says, "Oh, about 25 miles down the road." And this is like Friday night, I think. So we're coming into the weekend, and we're stopped on the highway. He says, "What do you need?" I said, "I've got this Volkswagen bus, and I gave the year, and the points are broken in it. I need to get a set of points." He said, "You're not going to believe this." He turned around, and up on his shelf, he pulled down a little box, blew it off, and it was a set of points for that car. I don't know how many years before God had put that there for me. But you know what? I made sure that my boys knew that. You know, as far as God did that for us, you know, a set of points. Just, I mean, he had one set of points, and it was for my car. On the hand. On the hand, baby, on the hand. My name written on the hand. Your name written on the hand. Make sure that you get experiences with God. Make sure you get them. And then don't forget them and tell your kids about them. Do you know a lot of the book is just stories? Yep. Of people meeting God? A whole bunch of it is people meeting God. And the biggest testimony you're ever going to have is how you deal with difficult situations. How you got problems. And how you go through them. Your kids are going to remember if you yell at each other. Your kids are going to know how you go through when money is tight. Your kids are going to know how you go through difficult health situations. And you can walk through them with a testimony with God, or you can take God out of their lives. Hello? You can take God out of their lives by the way you walk through problems. Now, I started the race. I started it young. I got saved when I was 4.5 years old. You say, "You can't be saved that young." But it seemed to have taken. Mom and Dad didn't think I should be saved that young, and Mom tells me that one day I got down and I prayed, "Dear Jesus, please let Mommy and Daddy let me be saved. I know all about you." And so they, what could they do? They let me be saved. And it was a real salvation. It was about the time that the 48 revival was happening, and I think there was a bit of the overflow even into the Christian church. I remember sitting in the Christian church and just weeping when people accepted Jesus. Got filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 16. I'm a true Pentecostal. I've been filled with the Spirit for over 50 years. Started well, but you know what? I want to finish well.
Amen.
That's right.
I don't want to forget God in my old age. Solomon had trouble when he got old. Different people in the Bible had trouble when they got old. But I want to show my kids in this generation that people can get old and have problems and still have a good attitude and praise God and worship God. And walk through it. And walk through it. Right now, I've got three of my kids that are talking to me. We know that my wife, unless God does a supernatural miracle, is in the closing days of her life. We know that. And we're praising for God to either radically heal her and raise her up supernaturally or take her home. Because right now, she's sleeping 16 to 20 hours a day. She's got 2400 vision. She's got short-term memory loss. We gave her a birthday party at noon on her birthday, and by supper time she forgot. Well, she thought the kids had forgot her birthday. So we're praying for God to raise her up or to take her home. And I've got three of my kids that say, Dad, you need to come and live with us. You need to come and live with us. The one that's not saying that right now moved into a small house with 5 kids and 6 dogs. But, hallelujah. But my heart rejoices in that my kids want me around. You know? My kids want me around. When I started thinking about this message and what I wanted to say with it, I thought, I want to minister on the problem of suffering. Change the title. I preached this a couple of times. I usually take 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 times with a message until I get it where I want it. But I changed the title after a time or two to problem or suffering. No problem. Because the modern day church sometimes thinks that there is a problem with suffering. That if you got sickness or something in your life, who sinned? Yeah. You or your mother or your father. And it's not always because of sin that problems come. Now, by the way, if there is sin, deal with it. Repent. Turn around. Head the other direction. Take care of it. Go to God and say, God, if there is, please help me. Now, I don't make a good counselor. Somebody comes to me and says, I've got a problem. I say, what is it? It's this. We'll fix it. You're done. Next. Hallelujah. Sorry about that. But to me, Calvary's there. Jesus is there. Grace is there. What's the problem? Well, I've got a problem. You got a problem. I got a problem. All God's children got problems. So what? If you wait to the absence of problems to move with God, you're going to be waiting forever, honey. That's right. So what? You got limitations? So what? Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, glory to God. It is the trial of your faith that is more precious than gold. Did you know that? It's the trial of your faith that's more precious than gold. Not just your faith. If you say you've got faith and you've never been through anything, that's nice. Let's see how the rubber meets the road.
That's right.
I want you to turn over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews is a great chapter on faith. Hebrews chapter 11. And in this chapter, he goes through Enoch and Abel and Abraham. Abraham looked for a city. Sarah received faith to conceive. And in verse 13, he says, all of these died in faith, having not received the promise, but having seen them afar off and persuaded of them, they embraced them and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. And they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they'd been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, a heavenly, whereof God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for Him a city. And then he goes into a list. Abraham in verse 17, Isaac in verse 20, Jacob in 21, Joseph in 22, Moses. And he goes down through this list of people who overcame, who overcame, who overcame, who overcame. And in verse 32, he says, what shall I say more? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better salvation. And then in verse 36, and others. And others. And others. Those two words hit me the last time I was reading through this passage. I hadn't seen them before. He gave all of these people who did these marvelous things in victory, 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 and others. Others what? Others had a trial of cruel mocking and scourging. Moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wander about in sheepskins, being destitute, tormented, whom the world wasn't worthy. All of these others. The others what? The others who had problems and didn't get delivered. The others who walked through it. I had cancer. You know, some people would tell me, don't confess that. Hey, if I'm not afraid of confessing that. I'm not making it mine. Understand me. But if you don't have a problem, and if you can't say you have a problem, you don't have a testimony. God delivered you. Out of what? I can't say it. Jesus asked the guy, what do you want?
That's right.
Lord, I'm blind. Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, he didn't rebuke him for a bad testimony.
That's right.
Hello?
Amen.
It's not a problem. It's not a problem if I say I had cancer. It's not a problem. Okay? And others. And others. You say, Ward, why didn't God heal you? Just boom, like that. Why did you go through chemotherapy? With that other thing you went through 6 years ago, why did you come so close to death? I've been close to death a couple of times. I have. One thing about it, I don't fear death anymore. I have absolutely no fear of death. I don't. I was talking to the Lord during this time and one of the times in between the chemotherapies. And I was saying, Lord, you know, I was concerned about my wife and I didn't want to check out before she did, but right now she's in care and she'll be taken care of even if I go. If this is your time for me, I'm fine. I got no problem. I got no fear of death. Lord, why did you go through that? I don't know. But you know what? Don't tell me I don't have faith. Don't tell me I don't have faith. I know God. He knows about garbage cans and food.
That's right.
He knows about points. He put them there 5-6 years. I don't know how long before I got there. He's not on vacation right now.
That's right.
He didn't say, oh, you had cancer, you're in the hospital. I didn't know about that. He didn't say, oops. Forgot about that one. No. I reacted good enough going through that where I had nurses that wanted me on their list. Testified to them too. I mean, you don't have a testimony unless you have a test.
That's right. That's right.
If you don't have a test, you just have a money. I got problems. So that doesn't mean I have to be negative. It doesn't mean I have to be so melancholy that I drag everybody down by my complaining and my moaning and my this or my that or my the other. Even if I've got the problem and God's not delivering me from the problem, I still got Him. And I can walk through the fire with Him. King, I do not have to be careful to answer you.
Right.
Our God is able to deliver us out of this situation. But even if He doesn't, I'm not going to bow down.
That's right.
Now, it's one thing to say that when you haven't got any pressure and you don't have any reason to bow down or whatnot. But guys, if you can be in the midst of problems, and you say that, I'm going through this. I have sustaining faith.
Amen.
I have faith that's not going away. I'm not going to curse God and die. Job was having a bad day one day. Everything wiped out. Flocks, camels, everything. Kid fell. Ruth fell on the kids. Kids were gone. And Job sat down and he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. By the way, that phrase that we sang this morning didn't come out of the good times.
That's right.
It came out of the bad times. And the book of Job says right there, and in all of this, Job sinned not, neither charged God foolishly. Do you know when you complain and gripe about what's going on with you and the problems and this and that that's happening into your life, you might be charging God foolishly? Now, I don't believe sickness comes from God, but I believe that if it happens, He allowed it. I believe He has a hedge around me, and the only thing He gets through is what comes through with His permission. I don't believe the sin originated in God. I don't believe that God put this sickness upon me. I think the enemy did this as far as that goes. But my God is able. And my God is strong enough. And I can walk through this with a good testimony. I can be a delight to those who touch the circle of my life and influence.
That's good.
I can minister peace to them. Well, there's a good passage in 2 Corinthians. With this, I'm going to wrap up. I don't even know what time it is. How long do we normally go? Till we're through. Okay. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. Now, by the way, you say, does God cause one to go through sickness and the other not? Hey, in the book of Acts, James was killed with a sword and Peter got delivered from prison. I mean, Very, very close together. Well, God loved Peter. He didn't love James. Don't give me that. Don't give me that. Don't give me that. In verse 3, 2 Corinthians 1, 3. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of mercy, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations. Now, if you don't have any tribulations, you're missing some of the comfort. That we may be able to comfort them that are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, did you catch that? For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Whether we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we suffer. Whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering, so shall you also be of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, and we were pressed without measure and above strength, insomuch we despaired even of life. But we ourselves had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in the God who raises the dead, who delivers us from so great a death and will deliver, in whom we trust that he will deliver, yet deliver us. Okay, I'm going to stop there. But the comfort. You're comforted in distress, in temptations, in trouble. You're comforted. You receive from God. Or do you? Do you go through a trouble or a test or a trial and grumble and gripe and complain all the way through it? You got your comfort switch on. Saying, oh God, here I am. I want to learn from this. I want to learn from this. I want to receive your grace to go through this. I want to walk through this. And I want to be different on the other side of this. Yeah. I'm different on the other side of this. Other than just the hair or the eyelashes or the 80 pounds I lost. And by the way, if you want a quick diet, radical chemotherapy is a good way to lose weight quick. I don't know that it's guaranteed. I've only seen it done once. But I'm different on this. And I'm learning still. I'm learning still. I'm learning some of the physical limitations that my body is bringing to me by age. Inside, I'm still 16, 17, 18, or so on and so on. And to this 16, 17, 18-year-old so on inside of me, my daughters say, Dad, don't you dare get up on the roof. I said, but it needs help up there. That's great. You're not doing it. I'm learning. Learning how to receive. Learning how to give thanks. Learning in a whole new way of how to have empathy and compassion on the people that are walking through what I've walked through. People who have terminal stuff, not necessarily terminal. Terminal is not the word I want necessarily, although that could apply. Chronic stuff. You know, stuff that is not going away. Something that you've walked with and 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 say, oh God, why? Oh God, why? Oh God, why? Some people might come to you and say, you just don't have faith. Don't tell me that. Don't let them tell you that. Get your own stories. Get your own witness. Raise up a stack of rocks. Put something to remind you, I met with God here. Make sure you remind yourself how God has walked with you. Right on. Let your kids know how God has walked with you. And say, I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to show my family that you can live for God and not turn to the world or not turn some other way, but that you can actually live for God your whole life. Hello?
Amen.
And you can go out praising. I haven't got it figured out yet. I'm working on this one. I see a passage in the Bible where this patriarch gathers his kids together, prophesies over them, puts his feet up in his bed, and passes away. And I thought, that'd be okay, Lord. I could go for that. I don't know if that's going to work or not. But that's my idea of an exodus. You know what, guy? You're a patriarch. You are. You know, guys, each one of you is a patriarch of a family. Now, granted, they're special in the Bible. There's a place for them. But get your stories down. Get your testimony down. Get your palm writing thing down, where God met with you and wrote your name
that's
in
right.
His palm.
Yes, that's right.
And you know it and He knows it. Problems? Trouble? Suffering? No problem. No problem. I got God. Before I turn the service back to Kevin, now we'll be up front to pray for you if you have specific needs. But if you're here with a chronic thing that you've been walking through, I want to pray for you as we close the service. Okay? Hallelujah. If you've got something like that and you want to say, Lord, that's me, just lift a hand up while I'm praying, okay? Father, in Jesus' name, you've made us vessels of clay, not vessels of steel. And we're walking with stuff, Lord. And Father, I ask for a measure of grace to be poured out today upon individuals where their body is touched in such a way that they're dealing with stuff on a daily basis that just seems like garbage so much of the time. I pray, God, that you touch their spirit and their heart and that you renew love and you renew grace and you renew, Father, by the power of the Spirit of God, the mercies of God that are our portion as your kids. We have faith. We believe in a healing God. We believe in a delivering God. We believe in a God of miracles who can just do anything. God, for some reason, we're still walking and we're still talking with this situation. And we ask, God, for you to open up doors for us to share our testimony and for us to share comfort to those that are going through similar situations, that we can be a contact of God for them. God, I thank you for these individuals that are going through trials and tribulations. And I ask, Father, for your strength and mercy just to be ministered to them. And everybody said, Amen. Amen, Pastor.
Worship team, would you come on back up? And Vern, if you'll... Hey, hasn't Vern done a great job for us this morning? Blessed be your name. If you'll stand with me, we're going to close with that song that he referred to. Interestingly, before the message, I did not know what he was going to preach on, but that song's been on my heart for a day and a half. And I knew we were supposed to do that this morning. And... such a confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you'll stand with me, if you can. Let's just give it back out.
What's
blessed be your name. Give A. How many heard from God this morning?
Yes.
I said, how many really heard from God this morning?
Amen.
That was a powerful message. The Lord knows you. Your name is written on the palm of his hand. So many things to hold on to. Father, we thank you that you are the God who is blessed, the God who is in charge. All of our days, our lives are in your hands. Our times are in your hands. Lord, we surrender to you and we say, blessed be your name. Can you say that with me?
Blessed be your name.
We love you, Lord, and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to your heart and you know you need some prayer, come on up and the team will be honored to pray with us as we join you in prayer. If you have not given your life to the Lord, I urge you, let this be the day you do so. If you have, and yet God has spoken to your heart, you want to take time right where you're sitting for prayer, do that too. God bless you. We'll have Grace Gathering Wednesday night. We'll see you next Sunday morning. Remember to spring forward. See you then. God bless you.